Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
What happens when your brain sees a friend across the street? It gives a brain wave. Yes, very good, right? Okay, thank you. What kind of brain images do dogs and cats like best? PET scan. There are a couple of people in here that may have gotten that ahead because I think we got some animal people here, but we have been on a powerful journey this year. You know, I keep a folder on my computer of all the message themes, and I also have a document that I document every month, and I write down the little synopsis and then, or the summary, and then I have the key verse and all the sermon titles underneath. And it's so fun to go back to last year and look at the little journey that we went. Actually, it was a major journey, right, we went on. And then this year, we're at the six-month mark, I guess, going into the second half of the year now, and just seeing where we've started in January coming up to this point. And I shared something on Facebook yesterday, which I realized was really true. In order for me to end, this me personally, end the year in the way that I have prayed for or have prophesied into, spoken life into, I need a mind shift. And I don't know if that's where you're at, but I need to change my mind in Christ. I need a mind renewal to get to where I am praying to get to. Does that make sense? It's like, if I'm going on a road trip, I'm filling the gas tank. I'm not just driving on empty, right? And we are at the six-month mark, or we're going into the second half, and I've got a road trip ahead of me in Jesus, and I'm saying, you know what? I got to fill the gas tank. I need my mind renewed so I can get to where I think I can get to in faith, right? It says faith without works is dead. There's a component of walking in the promises of God that has to do with mind renewal, and it's really important. It's not the power of positive thinking, so I'm going to put that disclaimer out probably every week. It's not that. It's the power of Jesus, right? His truth sets us free. And I guarantee, even if you've, you know, heard a message similar to this because you've been in the faith for a while, there is always another level of God's truth that can set you free. So I encourage you this month, as you are listening, to let God's truth come into any area of your life where you realize that you have tried to lock it out before. You got it? All right. So today launches our July series, Mind Shift. So can you just say Mind Shift with me? Now, I was going to save this story for later, but I had a bit of a mind shift this week, if you didn't hear. So I was at somebody's house, and I was shooting a gun. Now, it's not a BB gun. It's a pellet gun. That's what we think. I haven't confirmed. Not looking at anyone in the eyes right now. But it was a pellet gun, and I don't shoot guns. This is not a promotion for a shooting gun. That's Ithaca. Don't misquote me. All right. But anyway, I was at their house, and all the guys were out back shooting these guns. I thought, this is cool. This is the guy thing to do. I'm going to go be a guy with all the guys, because sometimes that tomboy in me comes out even at this age, which is a little embarrassing. So I go out to the back, and all the guys are shooting guns. And I've only shot maybe one other gun in my life. It was in South Africa. I shot an orange. It was fantastic. But it was not this kind of gun, I don't think. I thought it was. But these pellet guns are big. Maybe you know, maybe you're a gun guy, or maybe you hate guns. But anyway, I wasn't trying to kill anything. But it was like this big. And there's a little target on the hill. And everyone said, make sure you keep the scope away from your face. And I was like, of course, that would make sense. So, but I can't see through the scope. It's really hard to see. I don't know, maybe that was just my eyes or something. So I was trying to, you know, I wanted to show off. I wanted to hit the target. So I get the scope maybe about this far from my face. I think that's adequate. I don't know. Well, I shot that thing, and my shoulder was as flexible as like a gymnastic. It did not brace at all. I don't even want to know the slow motion. It was like gone. And my face felt like I shot my head. It was so painful. And everybody looked at me, and I was like, nah, I'm fine, you know, but I can't like really see. So I walk up the stairs into the kitchen, and I'm thinking like, man, I just need ice. Just give me some ice. I'll be fine. And then I look behind me, and there's this little trail of about 10 kids, and they're following me like this. And I'm like, that's not a good sign. Like, if you've ever gotten hurt and you try to make it, you know, little children with big eyes, not a good sign. So I get an ice cube, and suddenly I realize my ice cube is dripping and it's not clear. I'll just put it that way. And I'm like, oh, maybe I've got like a gash in my forehead. I don't really know what's happening. So now word is spreading that the scope hit me. And then this older guy across the house, because there were all these people there, he starts laughing. Let me tell you something. It made it worth it to hear this guy laugh. All the guys were laughing at me, and they weren't laughing at me, they were, but it was okay because I was laughing until I realized I couldn't really think straight. So we left, but I didn't want to go to the ER. So anyway, all that to say, I had post-concussive symptoms all week. So this is me preaching, feeling mostly better, but if I like zone out, that's why I'm not necessarily having a Jesus encounter, but I am feeling better, thank God. I went to the doctor, for anyone wondering, and got some good care and prayer. But I had a mind shift. I had a bit of a skull shift, actually, but I didn't know we were going to, you know, I was praying into the sermon series. I had an idea with our team, but I didn't know the name of it. And when I shot, I was like, man, there's got to be like some purpose to this. And then I realized, oh, the battles of life. And yes, just go with me on this because we're going to bring redemption to my experience. When you get too close to the battles of life, you get mind shifts. All right? It does preach. And so we're going to unpack that this month, because who have been through some battles in your life and you don't actually realize that you got a little bit hit in the head, you got your mind shifted, right? And you're seeing things differently and you're believing different things, and it starts to affect every area of your life, whether you know it or not. So that's what we're unpacking this month, although no more interpretations like acting out with heads. Everybody's head is safe in Jesus' name. So in 2023, this is a terrifying article. If you have a fear of flying, I apologize. In 2023, New York Times found that there were at least 7 reports of air traffic controllers sleeping when they were on duty, and about 5 were working while under the influence of something. Air traffic controllers who spend hours a day glued to monitors or scanning the skies with the lives of thousands of passengers at stake are the last line of defense against crashes. This is in the New York Times. In 2023's fiscal year, there were 503 air traffic control lapses that FAA preliminarily categorized as significant, 65% more than in the prior year. An air traffic controller in Florida instructed one airliner to turn into the path of another, later blaming being overworked and fatigued. A controller in Southern California told a plane to fly too low, attributing the lapse to being extremely tired after working continuous overtime. Quote, if I can make a small mistake like that, I can make a bigger one, the controller wrote in a submission included in the database, which is maintained by NASA. The Times found that the combination of 6-day work weeks and round-the-clock schedules have caused controllers to develop physical and mental health problems. I hope no one's going on vacation by air this summer. I read that article and I was like, please God, let that be a really old article. And then of course, Brian and I started looking up, like, how can we get our teenagers in this church to become air traffic controllers? Save a life, right? It pays well, but my gosh, you're in this little black box watching little dots all day. That's why they're having a hard time recruiting people, I think. But if you like that kind of thing, it might be the job for you. But some of us are thinking, that's absolutely nuts, right? Why isn't America prioritizing the very thing that keeps thousands of people safe? That's what I thought. I'm like, this is insane. I've actually been on an airplane that clipped another airplane. So like I can attest, you want a good air traffic controller. You do not want to ever experience what I experienced. It was a weird day at the airport. One tower can control thousands of lives in the sky, right? But similarly, one mind and one thoughts can affect thousands of decisions. Why aren't we paying more attention to the air traffic controllers of our lives? You following? Who has made a small mistake just like that air traffic controller in your thinking and realize, wow, I could make a much bigger one, right? That's what he said. If I can make a small mistake, I can make a bigger one. Anybody ever completely mistook a situation 100%, right? And if you didn't, well, you will find out you just did, right? Similarly to what the New York Times calls air traffic control as the last line of defense against crashes, our mind is the last line of defense between our actions and the impact our life will have, right? Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so is he. We just talked about that last week. So our brains, our minds are like the air traffic controllers for our lives. And a combination of six-day work weeks and around-the-clock overtime, anybody been plugging those days personally, can apparently have negative physical and mental health impact, not just on air traffic controllers. You know, there's a reason that God invented the Sabbath, right? It was made for man, right? So we're talking about renewing our mind, but what we're really talking about is capacity. Who has ever felt like your capacity is just too full, right? Or overflowing even. And you're like, man, I just wish that I could adjust what my capacity is. One traffic controller said after sharing he suffered from panic attacks on the job, this place is breaking people. We need help. I'll say it again, SOS. Maybe some of you are sitting here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, I need help in my mind. I need help to renew what I am thinking and what I am believing. I need an SOS. I have been there, and if you aren't, think about an area of your life that maybe just seems out of control, and usually it has to do with what we are thinking, because as a man thinks, so he is, right? Thriving homes transform cities. That's our mission, our vision for the year. Probably going to last more than the year, but we're starting with this year. Our city is transformed to the degree that the church is transformed in Christ. Think about that, right? The church is transformed to the degree that the people that are the church are transformed in Christ. Your marriage is transformed to the degree that your mind is renewed in Christ. Your parenting, your friendships, whatever life season you're in. Your habits are transformed to the degree that your mind is in Christ. And this is where I pray, you know, that there's a regional prayer gathering that happens in Ithaca, praying for revival and all these things for our region. And this is so, so, so important. You know, before I was a pastor, I was into 24/7 prayer and worship and all of that. But along with prayer, we must be in a lifestyle of responding to the Holy Spirit with our thinking, right? Because I can pray all I want in my prayer closet, but if I don't let Holy Spirit transform me as I pray, then I can go be the biggest problem to my city. You can be the biggest problem to your relationships, to your habits, if you don't let the Holy Spirit transform you. It's a process. And I think somehow we think that process is like excruciating, like surgery or something. And it's not always totally pleasant, but it is actually, right? It says in the presence of God, there is joy. That's one third of the kingdom, right? The kingdom of God, right? And so his process of transforming you doesn't look just like agony or something. There's actual joy in it. There's strength in it. There's hope. There's healing in it, right? And so my prayer this month is that we would allow Holy Spirit to transform how we see each other, ourselves, how we think about our situations more than we ever have. Because otherwise, our vision of seeing the city transformed is in vain. And it's just a slogan and a bumper sticker. But when you get transformed, our city gets transformed. It has a ripple effect, right? Are you following? Our key verse is in Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That word mind is used 24 times and it has a variety of different meanings, but it all basically means understanding or reasoning. One study defined it as the organ of receiving God's thoughts through faith. Thought that was cool. The capacity for spiritual truth, the power to consider and judge calmly and impartially. That sounds nice. Could use more of that. Thinking thoughts, feelings, purposes, and desires. And as I mentioned last week, it covers visceral reactions as well as intentional thought. So when we say renew your mind, I'm not talking about putting your thinking cap on, right? I'm talking about letting God transform your nervous system reactions as well as your thoughts, right? Wouldn't it be great if we had more triggers in Holy Spirit than triggers in anything else? I'm not going to worship any other triggers. It doesn't mean that I ignore them or I don't get help to process through them. That's very important. But I want, and my prayer and my cry for us as a church is that we would be a church that has, I'm going to say the word trigger, for Holy Spirit. Something happens, and instead of going to this because this is how this event made us think, we go to our renewed mind in Christ, right? Isn't that powerful? This week's Bible study is all about that. And I highly encourage you, if you did not get a hard copy at the hub, scan the QR code or go to the URL that's right there. It is a practical Bible study. You got to use a piece of paper. Even if you use your phone, you have to actually like journal something. So you got to get a little nitty gritty, but it's going to unpack renewing our mind more. Our mind is the air traffic controller for our life. And when it is not operating with Holy Spirit, we can have crashes and miscommunications and end up going in all sorts of different directions. Have you ever been there? Your starting point for your day can determine your day. Remember, we talked about that last week. Where's your starting point for your day? If you start your day believing lies, you're going to have a really hard time walking in the truth, right? I'm not talking about earning your way or striving. I'm talking about receiving and surrendering. Amen? I looked it up, and I don't know if this is the correct number because I had a really hard time finding it, maybe for security reasons, but it looked like at JFK, there are 1,200 flights coming in and 1,200 flights going out. So every day, to clarify, that's a lot of flights. Praise God that even though there are air traffic controller issues right now, 1,200 seem to be coming in and going out safely, right? And yesterday, as I said, I got to watch the Blue Angels, and my goodness, did they know how to communicate. They're going at each other, and then they flip. I don't know if anyone's seen this, but I had a God encounter. I was like bawling my eyes out. I was watching it because it was so cool to just see something so free, right? And to see something not tied to the earth. We talk about freedom in Christ, but they're just soaring on the wings of eagles up there. And, you know, they're coming at each other, and then they pivot, and then they keep going. If you get your traffic control wrong in communications, you are not pivoting at the right point. It is life or death. And some of us have thought patterns and cycles that were trapped in our mind, and it really is life or death, because the power of life and death is on the tongue, but where the tongue starts is in the mind, right? There are relationships, there are patterns and cycles, and some of us are even saying, I know this is a little touchy, but I'm going to go here. It's like, oh, I'm just getting attacked by the enemy. Well, you might not be. You might be getting attacked by unrenewed thinking. Unrenewed thinking may have gotten you where you are, not just like some random thing, right? And if we take responsibility and say, Jesus, what is your truth? And we listen and we receive it, it can set us free and deliver us in a moment. Amen? I have done prayer times with people, and at the end, they have said they've gotten more out of it than a therapy. Now, it doesn't mean don't go to therapy. That's not what I'm saying. If you need counseling, if you need the process, go to a good Christian godly counselor. But the Holy Spirit is our counselor as well. And a moment of truth with Jesus can set you free from a lifetime of lies. And some of us are sitting here mostly surrendered. In fact, I'm going to say probably all of us are sitting here mostly surrendered. But I want to talk to the mostly. I want to talk to that little part that's not part of the mostly. And I want to encourage you to be brave, because it takes a brave heart to say, Jesus, what is the lie I am believing, and what is your truth? Brian and I used this in our marriage, and it transformed it, because we would be talking to each other, and then, you know, you kind of spiral, and then we're like, wait a minute, what is happening? And then with our discernment, Brian's like, what lie are you believing about me, or whatever? And I'm like, oh, I'm believing this. He's like, that's not the truth. I'm like, I know, but it feels true. That's the whole point of lies. They feel true, right? And then we stop in our marriage and we pray and we get God's truth. Because I don't want to partner my attitude and my emotions with lies because they will kill, steal, and destroy. I want to speak life, which is truth. I'm not talking about truth that cuts the head off. I'm talking about truth and love. I want to clarify that, all right? That's very important. But I'm talking about a personal truth that you can hear from God, and I'm like, wow, I am believing a lie about my husband, or I'm believing a lie about myself, or I'm believing a lie about who you are, God, in this moment. What is your truth? And then I actually nail the lie to the cross. I say, God, I just nail such and such lie to the cross. Jesus, I receive your truth. I confess I partnered with that. What is your truth? Does that make sense? I've only gotten through two pages. I wasn't going to go into that, but that's a really simple way to be set free from lies and enter into God's truth, especially in relationships. So our series is called Mind Shift, right? And the definition of mind shift is an event that occurs when you change your mind about something, a change in one's attitude or perspective, a way of thinking about a particular situation or aspect of life. It involves adopting a new set of beliefs, values, or mental frameworks that can lead to personal growth, improved well-being, and better problem solving. That's quite a mouthful of a definition, but if you meditate on that with Jesus, it'll bring some breakthrough. How many know when you get married, you suddenly realize that you have two minds and they do not become one? Right? Someone should put that in premarital. Brian and I do premarital with people. I should probably make a note for the fifth page of that little survey thing we do, right? When you get married, you have two different definitions of what a clean house is, real fast, what a full trash can is. How about a clean car? How about going to bed on time? How about getting to places on time? On time. What does on time mean, right? These are wonderful questions. And you realize pretty fast you're two minds, but if you don't come together, if you don't learn to compromise in a good way, you're gonna have some stonewalling, right? And stonewalling, we did a marriage study recently, and I think it was like 85%, or I don't know, there's some huge percentage. If you are actually actively stonewalling over and over and over again, there's a huge percentage that means you may not end up in a very good place with your relationship, because it is no joke when you stay two minds, right? I'm not saying you don't think uniquely, but you got to learn to compromise. You got to learn to surrender and receive, to give and exchange, right? So Paul's first letter tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:16, for we have the mind of Christ. I like this because it doesn't say one day you'll have the mind of Christ, or keep renewing your mind until you have the mind of Christ. It says you have it. Can you just say I have it? In faith, right? So in 2 Corinthians 10, this is the second letter. So in the first letter, he's saying you have the mind in Christ. Now in 2 Corinthians 10, the second letter, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of strongholds. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is a phenomenal scripture. And if you grew up, or you didn't grow up, but I just mean if you spent the last 10 years in the charismatic church, who's heard the word stronghold, right? It's like, I break this stronghold, I bind this stronghold, we take this stronghold out, we're building a good stronghold, we're taking a bad one out. Here's a fun fact I discovered this week. It's mentioned once in the entire New Testament. Here. I don't know where the charismatic church went with that role of strongholds, but it doesn't mean it's not an important concept. I'm not dissing anybody. However, it's only mentioned one time. One. Here. And it's mentioned in the context of taking thoughts captive. So stronghold is defined as a fortress or a place of refuge and used figuratively as a false argument in which a person seeks shelter or a safe place to escape reality. Some of our marriages or parenting styles or workplaces take place under the shelter of a lie, under the shelter of a stronghold. And instead of, you know, shouting and whatever at the stronghold, what if we take every thought captive by the blood of Jesus? and receive his truth that sets us free. You following? Psalm 91, my favorite psalm. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, yesterday at the air show, they had these huge airplanes, and it was hot. It was really hot yesterday, and there was no shelter anywhere except under the shadow of the wings. And so very intelligent people, not me, I got a sunburn, but very intelligent people had actually brought their little picnic chairs, and they were lining under the wings of the airplanes. And I was having this like massive God encounter. They probably thought it was really weird, but I was like, whoa, they're under the wings. And Brian's like, this is so cool. They're just like sitting there, you know, enjoying the rest under the shadow of his wings. How do you know you're in the shelter of God's refuge and God's stronghold in your life? You have rest. Any place you do not, I'm not talking about sleeping, or I know that, you know, sometimes we have physical illnesses or something that can cause unrest in our body, but even our body can receive the rest of Christ, amen? But if you have mental unrest, it can be a sign that you are not under the shelter of God's truth in that area. You following? I say that humbly as someone who has dealt with anxiety, so I'm not making light of this at all. Our thoughts are either building a shelter of destruction or drawing us under the shelter of God. What would it look like for every area of your life to live under the shadow of his wings, in the shelter of God? Isn't that an amazing thought? Some ancient authors describe that Greek word for stronghold as a prison, which is actually kind of funny because Paul then does a play on words because he says to destroy the prison so we can take every thought captive. Maybe Paul had a little pun right there, right? But the bottom line is our thoughts build strongholds, and it's our choice whether they are life-giving or destructive, whether they are refuge, they're a refuge or a prison, right? And we live under the shelter of them. But there is no prison door that he won't break down, right? I'm not glorifying any kind of negative stronghold here, but sometimes we need to recognize, wait a minute, I need the truth of Jesus to set me free here. God, what am I believing here that isn't true? All of us are here thinking a certain way because of layers of mind shifts over the years. How many know you think a lot different now than you did 20 years ago or 5 years ago, depending on your age, right? Or 50 years ago, 70 years ago, a couple of us, right? Thank God we aren't thinking like the 5-year-olds or even like the 2-year-old or whatever running up. I mean, that's wonderful, but we don't think that way anymore, right? So our life and the way we think are layers of mind shifts over the years, whether they're good or bad, big or little. But we are not the product of mind shifts in the flesh. And that's where it can get dangerous, because if you get too much into kind of like the self-help or, I don't know, just deep into that, you start to think, oh my gosh, I'm the product of every bad thing that's happened to me, every mind shift that's happened to me, and it's overwhelming, and oh my gosh, what am I going to do? When we are not just that, but we are the product of every mind shift in Holy Spirit. Remember the song, Praise the Lord, I've been born again. Someone was reading the lyrics, right? Born again. I have been born again. This is not just your spirit, but your mind gets saved. Your mind gets saved. Your brain gets saved. And sometimes that healing journey is a process, but it doesn't mean it's not saved, right? So it says to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, the only thing more ridiculous than the image of me shooting a whatever gun, was it pellet gun, whatever, it was a big gun. Shooting the gun is me trying to shoot the gun, but wearing a helmet. How many know if I'd been wearing a helmet, maybe some like goggles, I would have needed like the whole face mask from 2020 to keep safe. But imagine if I'd had that protection on when I shot the gun. It wouldn't have had the same effect, right? There is a helmet of salvation. I love what that word means. The helmet, it means what encircles your head. What encircles your head as you're walking around? What's encircling your head? You know, some of us, we're fine at home, but we get into work and we've got a different helmet on. We got our work helmet on. And then we get in the car and we pick up a friend and we're going to some place maybe we shouldn't to hang out, and we got another thing encircling our head. Then we get home to the spouse and we've got another thing circling our head. Or we're alone at home and we've got another thing circling our head. Watch this week. Do your thoughts change and how you think change depending on where you are? Because the renewal of Jesus is stronger than any environment or atmosphere. Amen? It says in Ephesians 6:17, I'm almost done here, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp sword of the Spirit of the spoken word of God and pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. That's a powerful verse. And I love it because that word salvation is emphasizing the direct application of God's salvation. That's what one study said it was. And the root of that word sozo, the word save or salvation is sozo, right? And if you've been here at all, you know what that word means, but I love it because we think of salvation as being saved from eternal death, but that word salvation means to save, to heal, to deliver, to rescue, to make whole. That's what's encircling your head. His deliverance, his healing, his rescue. He's not saying, oh, stop thinking that. He's saying, hey, my deliverance is encircling your head. Wear the helmet of salvation wherever you go. Let me rescue you. Let me heal you. Let me make you whole in whatever situation you are in. Be convinced more of God's salvation than anything else that you are told or you hear. What would your life look like if that was true? It's called neuroplasticity in the brain. I love it when science catches up to scripture, right? Brain plasticity. There we go. It's the brain's ability to change as a result of experience. What's on the wall there? Experience God. Maybe we should add neuroplasticity underneath, right? Track some more Cornell, like brain scientists or something like that, right? Because the Bible isn't apart from science, right? God did create us. So research shows over time, changing what you think can change even the size of certain regions of your brain. Kind of scary and inspiring all at once. 2 Corinthians 10 says, we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This isn't striving or wishful thinking, right? This is scientifically backed biblical truth that can transform your life, your attitude, your habits, your interactions, the cycles that you feel you get stuck in. God's truth is bigger. Amen? So today's question is, what events in your life have shaped your mindsets and beliefs? Now, you can spend your whole life kind of thinking about that. What events in your life leading up to this point have shaped your mindsets and your beliefs? It's crazy how someone can be rejected by a family member, and that experience can cause a mind shift of rejection that can last their entire life. Or you can grow up in poverty, and that can cause a mind shift of never being enough, never having enough, never, God isn't enough, life isn't enough for the rest of their life. But I like the story of one woman who grew up in extreme persecution and lost her family. And instead of it causing a mind shift of bitterness and anger, it caused a mind shift of redemption and forgiveness. And that's Corrie Ten Boom. So some of us justify our unhealthy thinking because of what we have been through, instead of having that be an invitation to the power of the Holy Spirit to transform you and cause a Holy Spirit mind shift. There was a time I was up at the recording studio down the road, and I was recording a song I wrote a long time ago. You're never going to hear it. And it was about the earth may quake, but my love for God will never change, right? And I think it's based on a psalm, actually. But anyway, we're listening, and it's like, buildings may crumble, and the oceans may roar, mountains may tumble, right? And as I'm listening to it, there was an earthquake in New York. And I tell you what, I thought Jesus was coming back. I was done. I was like, take me now. We're singing about an earthquake, and my love for God will never change, God's love for me, and then the ground literally shake, the speakers were moving. We don't get earthquakes here. Let me tell you, I was like, what? But there was a shift, right? But how many know that's a little shift? When there's a shift in other places, it can cause a tsunami, right? I'm going to say this, trauma-informed and sensitive, but no matter what shifts have happened in your life because of your past, there is a greater shift in the Holy Spirit. There is a greater shift. Don't put more faith in the past mind shifts because of events that have happened in your life. And I'm not belittling what has happened to you, but we must magnify the Lord and what he can do and not magnify our past. But when we stop renewing our mind in the truth and we try to justify cycles of destruction, we magnify past mind shifts. When God is saying, I know this is a weird metaphor, but I have the earthquake of the century for you to shift you, or a good chiropractic adjustment, maybe that's a little slightly better, right? To adjust you, have faith in the shift that I can do. It's so much bigger than the shift that has happened in your past. But we see the shifts that have happened in our past as these huge quakes when they're not compared to the love of God. Amen? So why don't you stand on your feet? What events in your life have shaped your mindsets and your beliefs? Let's look at the events of Jesus, because I want to leave you with two questions. What events in Jesus's life have shaped your mind? A little bit of a tongue twister. I'm going to say it again. What events in Jesus's life have shaped your mind? I'm going to read a couple, but there are over 229 life events of Jesus, depending on how you count them. Being born in a manger, the belief no place is too messy for Jesus. Jesus is teaching in the temple at a young age. God can speak through any age. Jesus' baptism, Father God sees us and calls us his children before we've done any ministry even. Jesus' temptation, the word of God is more powerful than temptation. Jesus picks his disciples. God chose me and has a plan for me to follow him. Jesus encounters the woman at the well. God can use men and women. Jesus crosses the stormy sea to deliver a demonized boy. God cares enough for me. Jesus walks on water. Nothing is impossible with God. Jesus forgives a woman in adultery. God forgives and redeems all. Jesus dies on the cross. God's love is more powerful than anything else. Jesus rises from the dead. Death cannot stop our new life in Christ. Jesus eats breakfast on the beach. God wants to meet us in the daily life routines. What events in the Gospels shape how you think about yourself, about your family or your home or your situation, about our city? Is Jesus renewing your mind, or is other stuff that's coming at you? What are you feeding your mind this week? Make a note of it. And the second thing I want to ask is, what Jesus events in your life shape your mind? I got filled with the Holy Spirit right here when Pastor Caleb prayed for me many, many years ago. I preached my first sermon after being in the hospital praying for someone to be risen from the dead. That was the first time I ever preached. Let me tell you, that was a Jesus moment with me. Every time now I don't want, because your pastor doesn't always want to come to church. I'm just going to say it, right? And then I'm like, you know what? If I can preach after someone died that morning and they didn't get raised from the dead, but I wanted them to be, I can come to church this morning. That renewed my mind. I had a Jesus event in my life. What are the Jesus events in your life? And some of you are standing here and you're like, you know, I don't know what a Jesus event is in my life. That's okay. It's starting today. Let today be a Jesus event. Our compassion wall in the back isn't just because we love our city, but we want to see it transformed, because acts of compassion can cause mind shifts in people, right? So keep building that wall in the back. So God, I thank you that only you can cause a mind shift from rejection to loved, from overlooked to seen, from bitter to forgiven, from stuck to transformed. Jesus, only you can cause a mind shift that what some of us have been told can take years to break free from, you can do in a moment. And I also thank you, God, that sometimes a mind shift looks like a process. And it looks like changing our habits and obeying you in a deeper way than we ever have before. And Jesus, we choose to trust you. We choose to welcome you into our minds this week in a new way. Would you transform us? Would you transform us individually? Would you transform our homes? Would you transform our workplaces, our interactions, our communication, our thought process? Bring conviction and repentance where it needs to, so we can change our ways with you, Jesus, to see our city transformed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.